turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 13, and let's get prepared for today. We're on the subject of healing. Last week, I taught on healing being the medicine, that God's word is medicine. Look at somebody and say, God's word is medicine. Just like you would go to the doctor and you would take medicine that they prescribe to you, that's God's word. Not only is it preventative, I take a vitamin in the morning just to healthen myself up, and I think it'd be good while I'm on the diet just to make sure I've got all my minerals straight. And so I take this men's health vitamin, and I do that just for that purpose. I don't want to lose minerals. I don't want that to be an issue with me, so I take that vitamin. And the word of God is that way for you. You need to take the word of God continuously into your life. It needs to be continuous. And you put it in your mouth. He said, the word of faith is nigh us. It's even in our mouth, which is the word of faith, which we preach. We put the word of God in our mouth. It can't just be in our head. And it can't just be, you know, as a thought process. It's not just an idea. It's not an abstract. The word of God is actually medicine, according to what we've studied last week, medicine. And you need to take that medicine. Some of you, you know, progressions of healing sometimes occur differently. There are some healings that occur manifesting in some miraculous way that happen instantly. I mean, you can see an instantaneous miracle. However, there was an occasion when Jesus laid hands on a man and prayed for a man that had blindness. And the Bible said that when he washed his eyes, that the man could see. And he asked him, how do you see? He said, I can see men as trees. Then Jesus prayed again, and then he saw clearly. I honestly believe that why that was there was that we must realize that miracles sometimes are in progression. Healings are in progressions. They work in progressions. What if that man had turned on Jesus when he saw the trees? Just imagine, I mean, he said, I see men as trees. What if in between the moment he saw men as trees, as things were improving, because he was blind and now he sees men as trees, what if that moment in between there and the total healing, he had gotten mad, frustrated, upset, discontented, disgruntled? What if he had got an attitude toward Jesus? Then the miracle would have stopped there, because it required Jesus again to pray for him to see. The man that went down to the pool and he bathed seven times, what if he only went six? What if he got down there and he went down to the pool only five times or only six times and he said, this ain't working, and I stink, I'm coming up out of this muddy water. Who does that man think he is telling me to come down here? Because he could have. He could have gotten disgruntled and upset, and he could have been mad. And you know, how many know the devil will bring things in between you and your healing? Y'all ought to shout real big on that one. There is nothing you will ever get from God that there's not some form of a price to pay. We call that faith, but faith is an act. Faith is an act. It's what we do. It's what we, it's not just, it's the speaking that we speak is our action. The things that we do are our actions. You know, I've been around long enough to know, listen to me. I've seen this. My dad was a pastor for 35 years from the time I was 5 years old until today, which is 50. I was 45 years that I've been in the church. We missed no Sundays last year. I missed a Sunday night. So, I mean, my life is that way. This is my lifestyle. This is what God called me to do. And I love it. I love the things of God. But I've been at church long enough and watched experiences. And here's what I always see. Not always, but this is what I see. The devil always finds Saturday night to make somebody sick. Your car don't break down on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Your car break down Sunday morning. As you go out there to start your car, it started all week long, and you hit the key on Sunday morning. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, the kids are just fine. Ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. They've been great all week long. They've been in every sports event. They've been everywhere. And what happens Sunday morning? They throw one up before you leave the house. And they'll throw up in your car on the way. That's happened to us. I had Emily got sick the other week. And just, I mean, I don't know if she ate something wrong or whatever. I just know the devil was trying to get us all, you know, whatever. And so, I mean, she just started throwing up Sunday morning. I said, nope, we're going to church. By the time she got to church, she was perfectly fine. Everything was okay, because I knew the devil was just trying to disrupt my house. I don't know about you, but I ain't giving him no room. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. The moment you give him a piece of real estate, he keeps coming. He keeps taking more real estate. He keeps taking more and more and more and more and more. And before long, that little inch that you allowed him in, that little place that you said, okay, you can come in here, becomes a mile and a half. And then all kinds of things are going wrong. Shut the door on the devil. You know, we used to sing a song, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, everything is all right. I'd catch it. That's a catchy tune. I'd just catch that. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door. Half the time your door is your mouth. All right now. All right now. All right now. All right now. You know I'm right. You got to shut that hole. That gator, as we used to say. Can't allow the devil in your speech. Can't allow the devil into your lifestyle. You can't allow him to continue to come in and give him place in your life. You really, literally have to shut him out. He says to resist the devil and he'll flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Look at somebody and say, resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
That's not your wife and it's not your husband. So if you said that to your wife or you said that to your husband, that doesn't mean a fight on the way home. Or maybe when you said that, resist the devil, she was thinking of you. I am. I'm going to resist you. Don't let him in. I had a lady come to the church one time and she just, it was so funny. She came to my office. She was so serious. And she said, Pastor Steve. Now, realize this scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee. That scripture literally means he'll run in terror. That's right. Anybody ever yell at a dog and see that dog run off? He'll run as if in terror. He'll run as if in terror. We have the name of Jesus. There is no higher authority, no greater name on this planet than the name of Jesus. And you have that. You have that name. And he has authority over all sickness, all disease, all problems, all, you know, he has authority. Amen. God, he restored that authority to us. Amen. And so by that name, we have the ability to resist every attack of the enemy. And he has to run in terror. Yes. Some of us don't resist it. Some of us just get in bed with it. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, and wickedness in high places and spirits. So we're fighting these spirits and all this stuff, and then when we get in these fights at home, we fail to realize that the enemy has come in and caused all that. When we get in all these troubles, the enemy is the one that comes and causes all that. And then I tell you that, and you say, yes, you're right, Pastor Steve, but then you go right back to fighting. At some point, you got to stop fighting. You got to stop and say, no, you know something? I know where that's coming from. I know who that is, and I resist it. And I mean, that's resistance to the point that you are serious about it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to take God's promises by force. When I got married for a one flesh marriage. Not for two flesh, one flesh. And the two shall become one flesh. I'm not interested in that anymore. You have a life, and I got a life. You got a bank account, I got a bank account. I better be careful, that's meddling. I'm not looking for a way out. There's no exit door to the marriage because that's my flesh. That's flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, you may have already been there. That may have happened to you. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying, let's say we get back into another relationship. We decide to get married again. Fix this one. Make sure this one doesn't turn out like the last one. Decide in your heart, I'm going to have what God said is a one flesh marriage. Make this one one flesh. Make this one one flesh. That's what God said. Determine in your heart. And he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Run as if in terror. Look at somebody saying, the devil has to run when I resist him. Then he says, I can cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I'm getting somewhere because when I get to these scriptures, when I get to my message, you'll understand why I'm here. He said we can cast down these vain imaginations and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. When I have the knowledge of Christ, I have the ability then to cast down anything that exists beyond that knowledge. I have the ability then to resist that thing because of what God said. His word is medicine to all my flesh. To all my flesh. You might not be sick today, but you're going to need this to stay healthy. And if you get sick, you're going to need it to get out. You're going to live in divine health and divine healing. Look at somebody and say, I am going to live in divine health, in divine healing. I'm not only going to get my healing, I'm going to keep my healing. You know, you can believe God for a Mercedes, but you better believe God to pay for the tires too. Amen? Amen. You get your healing, you got to believe to keep it. You got to believe to maintain it and to hold on to it. We're going to have a miracle service coming up with Brother Ted. People are going to get healed. They're going to get their hearing. They're going to get their sight. You got to maintain that. My word is medicine to all your flesh. So this lady comes into my office and she tells me, she says, Pastor Steve, I don't know how to tell you this, sir. There are demons in my house. I said, really? She said, yes, sir. They are, and you know what, Pastor? They're all over my house. I said, I'm going to send you home with something to do. I want you to go and do it. And so she went home. I told her what to do. She pled the blood over her house. She anointed the posts with oil. You know, because I knew this was in her. She really believed this. And you got to start somewhere. I get all kinds of things. I had one lady thought she was being spied on by the FBI and stuff all the time because she had a surgery. Never mind. So, years ago, y'all don't know who she is. She's not here today. She came back the next week. It didn't work. It didn't work. So I gave her the scriptures. She said, they're in my walls. I hear them in my walls. And at night, they scratch on my walls. I told her, you go in that house and you rebuke every demon from hell. You tell every demon they have to leave your house, that they are not allowed to live in your house because the Bible says you can resist the devil and he will flee. I gave her every scripture. And then I told her this, and if you still hear things in your walls, call pest control. Y'all, that's the truth. It wasn't demons in her wall, it was a rat. She got to get rid of the rats. Somebody ought to shout out amen. I'm just unlike others. And I hope that you'll become more like me. I pray this. That you become so determined in your effort that you are undeniable in your faith. That you are so determined in your effort that you become undeniable in your faith. How many know God does not lie? Look at somebody and say, God does not lie. How many know God is not a respecter of persons? Say that out loud. God is not a respecter of persons. So a God that does not lie, who does not favor anyone, treats you and I exactly the same and did not lie to us. So when he said, by his stripes you were healed, he talked to every single believer that includes you, and you no longer have to live under the auspices, under the advances of the devil, because God has declared his healing over your body. He has declared his miracle in your life. He has declared his prosperity over you, and it is yours. It was, it is, and it will be. And he doesn't treat somebody else differently than he treats you. Just like he did for me, he'll do for you. I wish somebody shout out amen right there. So what does the Bible tell us? Now get this. We said it was medicine last week. This is why it's important to be in the house of God. I'll come even when I don't feel well. I'll show up even though it's a difficult thing. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. You remember her? The Bible tells us that there was this woman. She'd been 12, many years sick. And she'd been to see many physicians, many doctors. Nobody could give her help. Nobody could cure her. Nobody could help her. And yet she had heard about Jesus. So you've heard about him. Look at somebody and say, I heard about Jesus. I've heard about him. So you got to keep hearing. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. It's not having heard. It's continuing to hear. But the Bible says that she was sick and weak. and that she was debilitated. This disease, this bloody flux, as they call it, was so debilitating. She lost so much energy. She was so drained of her physical strength. That should be something for anybody in this room. Maybe you're going through a similar condition. The Bible has the answer for you, just like he did for her. He didn't lie to her. He won't lie to you. He doesn't love her more than he loves you, and he'll do just the same. So if you have these conditions, that's why you find that condition and you speak over your life in that condition. But the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd, if that she could touch the hem of his garment. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Has God put a word in your mouth? Has God put a saying in your mouth? Has God put something in there for you to believe for? I remember I had a young man that had fallen into a condition. He was very sick. And I got a phone call about where he was. He was in a major office complex here in Florence. And he was having a seizure, a grand mal seizure. Very, very sick. Very, very, very sick. And so I ran up there and got up to the place. And the Lord worked it out so I could walk right upstairs and walk right into the room. And so I got in there. He was laying on the floor. And he was virtually unconscious. But, I mean, they were trying to keep him from swallowing his tongue. And his eyes were rolled back in his head. And he was just as sick as they could be. While I was down there on the floor praying for him and speaking over his life and believing God that he would live and not die, turned out there was a major tumor in his head, in his brain, and he was seizing over this tumor. And they were afraid he was going to die before they could cure this thing. The Lord gave me a word. And the Lord told me, you tell him to say this: least possible problem, best possible solution. Least possible problem, best possible solution. I got that in my spirit. And I remember when they finally got him to the hospital, got all that taken care of, as soon as he came to and was cognitive, I told him, I said, young man, I need you to say this often and all the time. I want you to say this out of your mouth: least possible problem, best possible solution. Least possible problem. See, his faith wasn't in a divine miracle at that moment. His faith wasn't at the level. God knows where your faith is. Look at somebody and say, God knows right where you are. God knows your faith. And so he finally did it. He began to say it. I'd hear him all the time: least possible problem. Sometimes he'd say it wrong, but most of the time he'd say it right. Least possible problem, best possible solution. Least possible problem, best possible solution. He'd be walking around out here: least possible problem, best possible solution. Do you know that young man is alive today? They had said he would not recover. They had said that he would die early as a young man, and today he's still living. Do you know why? Because God put a word in his mouth. God put a word in his mouth. I want to tell you something. Wait till God gives you a word in your mouth. She said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Can you imagine that girl walking along? She just walking along. Could you just imagine she heard he was coming next week or whenever it was she was coming to town? You know, they didn't just get around. They didn't just hop in the car and show up. They had to get there over time. And so she would walk around and just say, if I could just touch him. Oh, if I could just, I bet she told her friends, you know, I heard about this Jesus. And if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I heard about this Jesus. And she got it in her mouth. She didn't just have it in her head. She had it in her mouth. She was sick. She had seen many physicians and grown none the better. But when she heard about Jesus, she said in herself, if I could just touch the hem of it. Listen, if you keep your mouth shut, you're going to end up keeping your condition. If you keep your mouth shut, you're going to keep your condition. If you speak the wrong thing, you'll get the other. Somebody ought to say amen. What we say matters. What we say matters. It really, really matters. Oh, I could just see her in my mind's eye. I really do. I just see her walking around. Y'all change sides on me. What are y'all doing over here? What is the deal? I got all confused. I looked over here and I saw you guys. I was like, oh my goodness, they've changed sides on me. The world's coming to an end. Jesus is coming back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. Least possible problem. God put a word in her mouth. And she began to speak that word and speak that word and speak that. You know something? If you don't get God's word in your mouth, some other word's going to come out. You know, if you ain't shouting Jesus, you might be shouting something else. Don't just let this stuff come on. Don't just let this stuff remain in you. Don't just let your conditions continue. I mean, fight. Fight the good. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Look at somebody and say, fight. Come on, baby, fight. Y'all didn't say that. Must not have been your baby. I could tell you story after story after story after story how that words in the mouth, things that we say. I'm not asking you to deny your illness. I'm not asking you to deny your condition. I'm asking you to speak what God says about it. I'm asking you to say what God says about your condition. What does God say? What did God do? What can he do for you? To him that believes, nothing is impossible. Look at somebody and say, nothing is impossible. I hope that gets on the inside of you. Somebody says, well, you don't understand my condition. You don't know what the doctor told me. You don't know what they said. I don't have to. I just have to know what he said. I know what he said. And I'm going to speak what he says, not what everybody else says. And so we look here, and here, listen to this. This woman right here is another condition. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 16 says this. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. So there was a spirit involved. I told you earlier that you could resist the devil and he'd flee. You have to understand that in this case, the word infirmity here does refer to sickness. There are other places where it does not, but it is referring to her sickness. So there was a spirit of sickness. There was a spirit of disease. There was a spirit of illness. I mean, ultimately, I'm not saying that every sickness that you have encountered came from the devil. But we know it came through Adam and through sin. And we know that sin brought in the devil's arena of sickness. And he is able to bring sickness into the world through that. So we could say that all sickness ultimately is derived from and comes from the devil. Is that correct? Amen. So then all sickness should be treated as if it's demonic. All sickness should be treated. Now, you wouldn't let the devil live in your house just like that lady wouldn't. Would you? I mean, if you knew that what you had in your body was the devil, wouldn't you want that out? Somebody ought to say amen. We need to appear. It needs to appear. We need to see it the right way. That's the enemy. And just like any enemy, we would drive it out. We got to clean out the enemy. We got to cast out the enemy. We got to resist the devil. We got to stand against the enemy. Look at somebody and say, stand up against the devil. Say it again. Stand up against the devil. Say this, I am going to stand up against the devil. My father had this stroke. I think I've told you this before. And several things happened that have taught me a lot of really valuable lessons. In the natural, just from a natural standpoint, when he went to the doctor because he was 41 years old, the doctors told him after having this stroke, and I'm not talking about a miracle, I'm just talking about in the natural, just his natural experience. They gave him a brace for his ankle because they said that the rotation of his ankle, being able to turn his ankle and turn his foot like that, was the worst part of his stroke, meaning that he would probably never get that back. But they told him in the natural, with rehabilitation, constant work, it was a good chance. And I know that doctors can't predict 100% of the time, but under their care and under their experience at his age, they felt like they told him that there's a chance you could receive 80 to 85% or more, not all, but almost all of your healing and all of your mobility again, if you will go back to rehab on a consistent basis and constantly work your body and get your diet straightened out so that you don't continue to have mini strokes and things like this, you could have most of that back. Now, my dad didn't do that. He didn't do that. He also had a situation where if one finger came back, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it. And he was able to believe for that. And if he would have continued to believe for one, two, a finger at a time. My point is this, is that there are situations, I brought this up in my heart because I want you to understand something. The effort that you make can make a big difference in whether or not you see the miracle of God, just like that woman who pressed through that crowd. And if you'll work, sometimes it's just one step at a time. One little thing at a time, one moment at a time. If you can believe for one small thing, then you can believe for another thing, then you can believe for another thing, and then you can believe. I now see God bring in thousands of dollars to Family Worship Center. People will come in and write $15,000, $20,000 checks all the time. When they do that, that wasn't what it was like when I was believing for $859 a week. I remember when we first opened, I mean, just believing God for $1,869 a month for rent was a huge stretch. It took everything I could do to believe for that. There were times when we were right up against the wall, bill needed to be paid Monday, but that's not where we are today. Because I have built my faith progressively over time and continued to fight that good fight of faith to where now I know how to believe God. I'm now wanting to pass that $20 faith and move on into the $35,000 and $50,000 faith. You know, there are people in this world that have $1 million faith. There are people that have more than that, multiple millions of dollars faith. You know, you ought to start somewhere. You ought to believe God, if you have to, for just $5 or a pair of shoes or a meal or a Starbucks coffee. Amen. I wish somebody shout out amen. Amen. And grow your faith. So here she is. She says, it says here that that woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and had bowed down. So she was bowed down and could no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." What did he loose her from? It said she had a spirit of infirmity. So he loosed her from the spirit of infirmity, didn't he? He loosed her from a disease that was ultimately brought about by the devil. Go on. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue. Now notice he spoke it first. Notice it. He got a word in his mouth. Do you see it? He called her and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He spoke it first. He spoke it first. There's all kinds of things in here. He spoke it first. 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 He first spoke it. He first called the end result. He first declared what would be. He first called those things that be not as though they were. He first spoke to the infirmity. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Then he laid his hands on her. This is why when we do healing teaching, we teach on healing before we lay hands. This is why I'm teaching on healing before Brother Ted comes. Because I am trying to prepare your faith, trying to set you up, trying to get inside of you a belief that if you could just touch the hem of his garment, oh, if I could just get to that meeting, if I can get there, one of those nights, Jesus is going to come through. One of those nights. And it's not the man that heals, it's the faith in God that heals. God's power comes when we believe him. This woman was named the woman who was bowed over. You understand? That's what they called her. Here comes the lady that's bowed over. She had adopted a name. She'd gotten a name from her condition. And she'd been called that. People had been calling her that. People had been speaking that over her. People had been saying, here she comes, the cripple. Here she comes, the diseased. Here she comes, the afflicted and affected. Here she comes. She had a name. She'd been given a name by the world. The world had named her as sick and diseased and disgusting and whatever. And they had called her this. You understand? And Jesus came. He didn't see sick, disgusting. He didn't see lame and wounded. He said, "Thy infirmity, I'm going to loose you." And he laid his hands on her and loosed her of her infirmity. He loosed her from that thing. He released her from that thing. How many know God will release you from your disease? He'll release you from your sickness. He'll release you from your condition, because the devil's got you bowed over, and the devil's got you tied up, and the devil's got you thinking messed up, and the devil's got you depressed. He'll loose you from your depression. He'll loose. I don't know what her living conditions were, but I think times were very different back then, and people that had sicknesses and diseases, they didn't have like today where we have, you know, laws for handicaps and things. They were just somewhat ostracized. They were treated inferior, and so she must have been that way. I imagine her condition of finances was probably low as well. She probably struggled, because just like the woman with the issue of blood, she'd spent all that she'd had, is what the Bible said about her. She spent all that she had to get better. Not only does it affect you physically, but it'll affect you financially. Many of you in this room are just one sickness away from bankrupt. Don't get sick. Don't get diseased. Make up your mind. This isn't going to take my income. It's not going to take my job. It's not going to take my happiness. It's not going to take my joy. It's not going to take my, I don't know, nobody's shouting loud enough. See, right now I'd be saying, you're right, Pastor. It's not going to take my peace. It's not going to, I tell you right now, this thing is not going to take my peace. I tell you right now. Not going to steal my joy. You are not allowed to steal. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I receive life. Jesus came that I might have life, and that more abundantly. You will not steal my house. You won't steal the time with my children. You won't steal my ability to run. You're not going to steal my ability to work. You're not going to steal my ability to have wealth and riches. You're not going to steal from me my breath. You're not going to steal from me my strength. You're not going to steal from me my church. You're not going to steal my house. You're not going to steal my car. Man, right now I'm about ready to run. I don't know. It's how you could just sit there and not hear what I'm trying to say. Some of you ought to get angry. Some of you ought to get upset. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm gonna fight the devil with every breath inside of my body. I'm going to stand on the word of God with every breath until I'm satisfied, until I'm ready to go home. And I look at the kids and say, kids, I want y'all to know, Daddy going to go be with Jesus today. And I'm not letting anything get between me and what can heal me. I'm not letting anything get between me. I can't afford it. I can't afford a bad attitude. I can't afford anger. I can't afford bitterness. I'm not going to have it. I can't afford that. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to keep walking in love because faith works by love. Faith working by love. Faith working by love. Faith working by love. Faith working by love. Faith works by love. Love, love, love. You can't even be indifference and get your healing. You got to be in love. Indifference says, I don't care anymore. You can't be an I don't care anymore. You got to be in love. Faith worketh by love. Well, I'll just put up with it. You can't just put up with it. You got to walk in love. You got to make up your mind. I tell you what, this thing's so serious for me. This thing about my healing, this thing about my body, this thing about my whatever it is you're trying to receive God from, what you want in your life, you can't let nothing in between you and that. You can't let nothing get in between. You can't have a bitterness and anger and malice and unforgiveness. You can't have unbelief in your heart. You got to fight the good fight of faith. I'm preaching real, 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 real. You can't have racism. You can't have bigotry. You can't have that. Not if you're really serious. I mean, there's some folks that just say they want something, but they will do nothing to get it. Because Jesus, then it goes on to say, and the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days that men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. But on the Sabbath day, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Do one of you let an oxen or an ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? What about this woman being a daughter of Abraham? Being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from her bond? You'd let oxes out, but you wouldn't let her out? We loose animals, but we won't loose her from the bondage of the devil? Is that what you're saying? And he called her the daughter of Abraham. Listen to me. He called her the daughter of Abraham. Do you know why he used the daughter of Abraham? Because Abrahamic covenant said that if you were the seed of Abraham, you were blessed. Amen. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed, you were healed. You had the Abrahamic covenant. you were under an Abrahamic covenant. God had set covenant with Abraham, and every child of Abraham was supposed to live under covenant, live blessed, live blessed. So he was saying that she was not having the experience of her covenant. There are people in this room that don't understand this principle. That she was not having the experience and she was bound from her covenant. I wish somebody got that. She was bound from her covenant. She was bound. The devil had bound her from her covenant, from her rights, from what belonged to her. She wasn't asking for something that didn't belong to her. She did not receive something that was not hers already. She was a son or a daughter of Abraham, and because she was, she was bound from her covenant. Not bound to sickness, but bound from... You're not getting it. Bound from her covenant. When you have a covenant right, that's greater than just getting a healing. He was saying she's being bound. She's being kept from. How many of you know if somebody had an aunt or an uncle or a mother or father who left $1 million in the will, would you try to get the will? I got another one. What? I shouldn't use this one, but that lady that won that, you know, $750,000 in the lottery. Make sure if y'all ever win that, you tithe here, please. Can you imagine? She would have brought $89 million in the church. Woo! We could have done built a new sanctuary. Could you deny her what she won? Could you imagine somebody keep her from, I'm sorry, sweetie, the door's shut. You can't go in there. You can't go to the lottery office. You're not allowed to go collect that money. No. She'd be done got her a baseball bat and a car. She'd have run that car through the front window and busted that thing open and said, I won $839 million. You gonna give me my money? And if you wouldn't have done that, something wrong with you, because I tell you what I would have done. Couldn't nothing keep me from getting that 89, 890, nothing. That's how they say it in Jamaica, isn't it? Nothing. Nothing, man. Nothing, man. No, sir. I'd have busted down every gate. I'd have done everything. I'd have met with, I'd have gone to lawyers. I'd have sued you behind. You know I'm right. And every, he's saying here that the devil had locked her away from what was hers. Already. She's already got it. Wouldn't you? Jesus is also saying here, not only would you loose, but I will too. Just like you would loose your donkey or your horse, let me tell you something. I'm Jesus, and there's a need here. The devil has brought a spirit of infirmity, and he has locked her away from her covenant, and I'm Jesus. I have the key. I have the key to turn that loose, to pull off the bands. I can take every rope off, every lock and chain, and I can release her to her covenant. I wish somebody would understand what I'm saying. Now, let me tell you why this is so vastly important. Because in Galatians 3:29, it says, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and you are heirs. Holy Ghost just came all over me. Woo! Woo, I about passed out right then. I'm just, woo! Whew, hold on a minute, I got to gather myself. Woo! Hallelujah. You can't bind me from my covenant. You cannot bind me from what belongs to me. I'm not trying to get something that don't belong to me. I'm trying to walk in what is mine. Oh, oh. If you be then Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and you are the heir to the promise. You're the heir to the promise of health. You're the heir to the promise of blessing. You are the heir. You are the heir, the rightful heir. Health, healing, prosperity. I'm the heir. I'm the heir. You may not see it on me, but I'm the heir to a vast fortune. You might not see me driving it today, but I'm the heir to a really nice car. When you are born again, you become the seed of Abraham, and thus you become the inheritor of the Abrahamic covenant. Your relationship with Christ has made you the real descendants of Abraham. And therefore, you are the possessor of the blessing God conferred to him. As the seed of Abraham, nothing is too good for you. You're blessed beyond measure. You're blessed beyond failure. And you are blessed beyond sickness. I wish somebody shout out. Disease, lack, death are not consistent with your lifestyle anymore. The moment that lady won that $839 million, her lifestyle as a librarian ceased. Didn't nobody get that? The choice to be a librarian then becomes hers. It's not I gotta be a librarian to get paid. I'm already wealthy. My lifestyle just took another step. I'm in another plane. I'm living on another level. Because I'm I got 839. I got more money than Beyonce. That's the truth. She got more money than Beyonce. Beyonce don't live in, she don't drive no Volkswagen. She don't live in no shack around the corner. She don't shop at the Walmart. Y'all, when Michael Jackson was alive, he rented out Disneyland. He rented out Disneyland. He didn't go to Disneyland with the regular folk. Then when he didn't want to go to Disneyland, he just built his own park. Y'all ain't shouting. You become the possessor. Then those things don't live in your lifestyle anymore. You got to change the lifestyle mentality. That's why the Bible says, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. Because if you're those things, you don't live in that lifestyle anymore. That's not where you exist. That's not allowed to exist in your life anymore. That's not allowed to be there. I'm above that. I'm above. I've been lifted up out of that stuff. God stretched me to a higher place. And if you continue to live in the low place, that's a choice. I just shouted right there. Nobody else gonna shout. I'll shout for you. Yeah. That's a choice. That's a choice. Here you are with $839 million, and you are gonna sit there and continue to work. She went in and quit before she even got the thing signed. She walked out the press conference and said, I quit. That's what she did. She said, I quit. That's what we ought to do. I got saved. Jesus came in my heart. I quit sickness. I quit disease. I quit lack. I quit. I quit. I ain't coming back. I might buy y'all's company, but I ain't coming back. I wish somebody get it, because if you get this down inside of your heart and you realize who you are, realize what you have, realize that name that you've been given above every name. At that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of sickness, Lord of disease, Lord of lack, Lord. Abraham's seed, the works of your hands are blessed. You are ordained to succeed. Fruitfulness and productivity are your birthright. That's your birthright. This is your heritage as the seed of Abraham. For the seed of Abraham, anything is possible. The Bible tells us the story that she was bowed over 18 years. She came to the synagogue and he said, ought not this woman being the daughter? I love that statement. Ought not? Are you saying she shouldn't? Ought not? I mean, I think Jesus said that with indignance. I think he said, ought not? Ought not? You ought to say that in good, profound King James English. Ought not? Ought not? I ameth the sonneth of Abraham. Ought not? What? Ought not, Steve McCott? Immediately she was healed. Why? Because Abraham's seed ought not be bound. Abraham's seed ought not be diseased. Abraham's seed ought not have infirmity. You must recognize that you are Abraham's seed. If you've experienced some form of sickness, disease, and infirmity, recognize that Abraham's seed, that's you, ought not be bound by strokes, blindness, deafness, lameness, poverty, or any other infirmity. You must recognize you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus said in Galatians 3:13, or they said in Galatians 3:13, written by the hand of God, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Meaning he took care of sickness, poverty, and sin. We must take God's medicine consistently to live. To live in divine health, experience healing, and remain healed and healthy. Healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15:26 is explaining to us this story that he replied. Listen, there was a girl. Listen, I'll read it. He replied to the girl, he said, in Matthew 15:26, he replied, is it not right for the children to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs? What had happened was there was a sickness. They came to Jesus and Jesus said, you know, I shouldn't give the bread to the dogs. He was building this girl's faith. But when he said that, he was saying he was relating sickness to bread. And so he was saying that we would cast the bread of healing. Healing. So healing is the children's bread. You understand? That's what he's trying to say here. We are all the children of God, and this bread means it's our rights and our privilege and our benefit to be healed. It is our right, our privilege, and our benefit to be healed. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is restored like the eagles. Back to that. I need to quit. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to. We need to go. It's a holiday weekend. It's time to quit. Come on, Brother Dom. Here's what I want to say to you, and I'll continue on. Don't allow anything to come between you and what you desire of the Lord. Amen. Nothing. What I desire is worth more than any of that. What I want from God is worth more to me than anything the devil would try to do to stop it. Look at somebody and say, I am healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am over and not.